What a big week, Loftus Party people. What a big week. Welcome to the podcast. We're going to be flying. There's so much to cover. There's so much going on. We got the Gypsy coming in at 100% efficiency from Gypsyland. Where are you at? Where are you going to give your location this week?
I'm at the home compound. That's where good. I am, and there's really bad wind here, so we'll just hope we can get through this whole thing.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so we're just gonna here's the rundown, just to, so you don't get overwhelmed later on in the show. We're 30 seconds in. Here, this is what's coming up on the show, you guys. We got Trump talking about sending illegals to sanctuary cities. We got Big Billy Barr talking about spying. I'm a huge fan. We got Julian Assange arrested, big WikiLeaks news. We got Ilhan Omar and that whole kerfuffle. The president's taxes, we're going to get into that. Holy smoke. Then we get into some more fun stuff. We got Game of Thrones, which technically will have premiered last night, but it hasn't premiered yet as we tape this. Tiger Woods news. We got a new Star Wars movie title. We got a teaser trailer for that. I actually saw Captain Marvel. We got to talk about that. I was on Fox and Friends this morning. We'll talk about that. Everything is going very well. I can't complain. Big thank you to right out of the gate. Big thank you to the Patreons. That plan is coming together. Soon I will release the hounds on that thing. YouTube's going great. Facebook, holy smoke. Holy smoke. I did a video for Facebook. I was kind of behind the eight ball the other night. And so I had to, this will be great. This will go, this will lead us right into the first story. It was about Trump talking about sending illegal aliens to sanctuary cities. And holy crap, that video has been shared a couple thousand times. It's got like 40,000 views. And it was like yesterday.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because it's fine. He could totally do that. It's fine.
I think most people agree with it. Like,
absolutely.
I love the idea. I think it's wonderful. It's just fantastic. You're a sanctuary city. Like, and here's the thing, and maybe you can help me out. I'm sure you can.
Okay.
But like, how are the Democrats even doing their fake indignation on this? How can you even pretend to be outraged? What's the outrage? So I'm being completely serious. Stone cold serious.
The best is Gavin Newsom. You all are a sanctuary state.
Yeah.
Like,
and what's his beef? Like, what's his problem?
Like, to me, this is the ultimate put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
Like Nancy Pelosi, the San Francisco area, just opened their arms. We were all told we were morally corrupt and bankrupt because we didn't just want to open our borders and let them all in. Let's send them to your neighborhood.
And is that the problem? I'm seriously, like, I tried to watch because I was up at I went to sleep at midnight. I got up at 3, went and did Fox, came back and went took a nap and then woke up. I'm a little behind here, but I don't even see, like, they're going. They're saying they don't even know if Trump can do it. Is the problem like the cost of the transportation? Is
no,
it about renting the buses and paying for
all
the fuel?
Time. They're flying.
Say what?
Them all, they're flying them all over the place now.
Yeah. So I'm being completely serious. Like, where's the indignation? They have to. You're a sanctuary state. You're Los Angeles. You're San Francisco. You're these wonderful places that said, everyone's welcome. Give me your poor, your weak, your huddled masses. That's who we're talking about, the poor and the weak and the huddled masses. How can you turn them away? How can you be outraged at the thought?
Here's my thing.
Yes,
you can't
bring
have it both ways. So you can't say that everyone should come in and we should release all these families into the interior and catch and release is the right thing to do. And simultaneously say, if Trump does this, he's punishing you.
Yeah. It's they know they're wrong. They know their policies won't work. They know they're not prepared. If I'm Trump, I'm not kidding. I'm dancing in the streets. I'm dancing in the streets.
Well, and they're just so, they're so easy to get their, it's just so easy to twist their panties into a knot.
Well,
I
certainly is
mean,
for Trump. It certainly is for Trump.
this could be Trump's biggest troll yet, just to call out their hypocrisy and make them at least start thinking about doing something different. And they like play right into his hands.
And I swear, and I don't even know how they can have the audacity to call him some kind of bad guy. Oh, he's using them as a political tool. He's a bad, like, how can they even
You're using them as
possibly?
political tools.
It's yeah, it's here's the deal. Here's my little metaphor for the day. I was a couple years ago, I remember Twitter blew up this one afternoon talking about the Fyre Festival, right? This seriously, do you remember that?
I remember portions of it.
Yeah, it was I think it was 2016. And these guys, these promoters were going to put on this huge music festival in the Bahamas, and Ja Rule was going to be there, and Blink 182, and all these big bands, and you're going to have, and I watched a documentary about it last night on Netflix, and the Democratic Party is the equivalent of the Fyre Festival promoters. This is, I'm serious. I'm completely serious. It's the best metaphor ever. They talk about how wonderful it's going to be. It's going to be wonderful and socialism, and we'll share. And this dude, this Billy dude who's promoting Fyre Festival, was actively lying to people and spending more money than he was taking in, and he was inflating the numbers and just saying whatever he could. However,
And didn't they end up getting like cheese sandwiches or something?
oh my gosh, they had a budget. They had a budget for $6 million. $6 million for the catering. They had a wonderful, wonderful chef all lined up. But as the money was being dried up, this guy was like literally writing checks that he didn't have the money, and he was lying to people. And he tells his buddies, like, you got to do something about the catering. I don't have $6 million for to spend on catering. How much do you have? In reality, I have $1 million. So the guy had to get a new caterer. Can you imagine? You're trying to throw this giant party for hundreds and hundreds of people, and then they go, okay, find a new caterer, and we need him in a couple hours. So this poor soul, like, the fact that they had like pieces of bread with a slice of cheese on it was like an insane victory.
Right.
But that's the Democratic Party. They're gonna tell you, hey, Medicare for all, hey, college is free, and then you're gonna show up and they're gonna hand you your piece of bread with your slice of cheese. And then ultimately, the guy, like, everyone's trapped on this island. They got nowhere to go. They have a miserable experience, and now they're suing him. And this is the path, you guys. This is the Democratic Party path. They're selling us Fyre Festival. Millennials are buying into it. College people are like, yeah, socialism sounds pretty good. And here's the deal. This isn't a thing with socialism and all this. You can't just call your parents and come home. Like, your country's wrecked. So let's learn from the Fyre Festival and not mess around with socialism. It was a great documentary. It was hilarious and sad, and if that dude would have pulled it off, it would have been fantastic. It would have been fantastic. And he
Right.
actually came pretty close.
Well, if he hadn't spent all the money.
And lied to everybody and their mother,
Right.
and
And
then
yeah, because I
everyone.
don't think come to this party on an island and we're going to give you a cheese sandwich would have gotten a lot of folks.
No.
No,
But
I
when they
don't
showed,
think so.
they had the best social media when they launched this thing, and the influencers and all that stuff. And that's like literally, it is. The correlation between that and I'm not even kidding, the Democratic Party right now, they've got good social media people. You've got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and you got Adam Schiff, and all these people. They're toeing the line, they're speaking to their base, and people are believing it. And Bernie Sanders is out there, and he's doing well, and he's hitting the stump, and yada yada. But you guys, you don't want to go down this socialism path. It is the Fyre Festival. It will totally be the Fyre Festival. And I know we've said it on this show a bunch, But like, if you want to think about socialized medicine, and if you want to think about government-run healthcare, just take a look at the VA. Ask yourself, is the VA crushing it? Are they crushing it?
Okay, or just look at the UK, where you have a bunch of people in what we would consider they're still very active senior years going blind because they're being denied eye surgeries.
Yeah. And then you've got like half of the doctors, they polled all these doctors in the UK, and half of them are seriously considering quitting because there's no future in it. There's no money in it. It's a horrible experience. It's not a good livelihood. So I just think that's funny.
Yeah,
Oh, well, it's
well,
not funny. It's not funny
and I
if you're
mean,
English, but.
the thing that's killing me right now about this whole Medicare for All thing is Bernie Sanders and the elimination of private insurance. You know who doesn't do that? Canada doesn't do that. The UK doesn't do that. France doesn't do that. You know how I know?
Huh.
I
You used
worked
to
with,
live there.
no, but I did work for
Huh.
companies who had employees in those countries.
Yeah.
And we gave them supplemental insurance to get better health care than the national system provided.
Yeah. I think Bernie's going to have a really big problem trying to sell this whole thing. And for the love of God, it's just too dangerous, you guys. It's just too dangerous to get rid of like supplemental insurance and all that other. That's just, you're an idiot if you do that. If you
I'm
put
not
all
giving
your.
up my plan. I like my plan.
Dig it. Dig it.
Obama
It took
said
me
I
a
could
while to
keep
get
it,
things.
Bernie. What are you doing?
Yeah. And isn't Kamala Harris talking about that too?
She did, and then she kind of walked it back. It's like all of these candidates ran left and were trying to out Bernie Bernie. And it's
Yeah.
really funny to watch because all of a sudden he came back to the center a little bit, except on Medicare for All. But he's now talking about needing to talk to white working class voters and identity politics isn't okay. And I'm like, dude, you're gonna get creamed.
I don't know. Here's a weird thing, and this is like my thoughts on Bernie Sanders going back to 2016. That whole one, like that dude believes it. He truly believes what
No,
he's
he
saying. He's going to
doesn't.
be on. It's Sunday as we record this. He's going on Fox News tonight.
Well,
I think
yeah,
he's doing a.
he's actually the one saying, Fox News has a huge audience. We can't just not talk to those people.
I will give that guy credit for,
Yep.
I think he's completely delusional, but boy howdy, good move, smart move. He's hanging out in Pennsylvania. He's hanging out in Wisconsin. Granted, he's going like to places like Madison, but
Yeah, but
holy crap.
they're not going to vote for him. Most working class folks are not going to vote for him. I mean, you talk about the unions at the executive level that throw all their money at Democrats. That's what I call an unholy alliance, okay? It's about density
Yeah.
and dues. They want as many union members as they can possibly get, paying the most amount of dues they can possibly talk them into. Okay, because
Yeah.
for the union leadership, it's about political power. Okay, the guys on the floor wave American flags, have shotguns in their trucks, etc., etc. I don't think the union leadership is going to get out the vote in these industrial type unions the way they used to. That's just me.
Well, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. And like I've done stand up in Madison many, many years ago, and it's San Francisco East. It's so liberal, but it'll be tough for like the union people because it's hard to compete with the reality. Manufacturing jobs in the last 23 months, manufacturing jobs are up like 399%.
Yeah,
Like those
no.
jobs are coming back and wages are rising. So it's gonna be tough to make the case that things aren't better. It's gonna be hard to fight that reality. But like, boy, the reality's never gotten in the way of Bernie Sanders. Reality's
But see,
never gotten in the way
he doesn't
of any
really.
socialist.
Did you hear what he said? He doesn't really believe this either. He
What?
says.
What?
Because he has to release his tax returns, right?
Yeah.
So he had to admit he's pulling over in over a cool mill a year, right?
Yeah.
His direct comment sounded something like, "Well, I wrote a book. You can be a millionaire if you write a book. That's free
Yeah.
market capitalism, you stooge."
And he did it in the most like old school Bronxy Russian Jewy kind of a way. He's like, I'm sorry I wrote a popular book. I'm sorry I wrote a book that was translated into what, five, six languages? I'm sorry I'm good at what he did that whole I'm sorry I'm successful. And it's
But you
like
can
I'm
only
sure the
do
people
that
who
in
run these
a
big
free
corporations are
market.
thinking the same thing too. I'm sure everyone is like, hey, I'm sorry I'm successful too, you moron. Don't
Exactly,
tax me
but
into oblivion.
he just articulated the possibility for every citizen in this country to become wealthy via a free market.
Yeah,
You just
it's the
blew your
it's
whole narrative, dude. It doesn't matter that you were shirtless with a bunch of commies.
and I'm not even kidding. I think that you and I are the only ones who are like talking about that giant hunk of hypocrisy, that giant turd that is floating in the punch bowl of socialism. That's like Bernie's like, "I'm sorry, capitalism is great. I'm
Capitalism
sorry.
rocks. It made me a rich man.
I created something of value. A bunch of people wanted it. I sold it in an open market, and now I'm rich.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry." Well, then I guess capitalism doesn't suck so bad. All right, we gotta move on. There's just so much.
Okay.
I love it. I love these big story weekends. We got Big Billy Barr.
I
The
love
world
him.
is, oh, it's
He's
so
my new
wonderful.
political crush. It has nothing to do with looks, but he is driving them nuts.
Do you watch the Fox News? Do you watch the Fox News?
I end up watching like the testimony and stuff usually later on YouTube. I don't necessarily watch it live at the time.
Okay, well, it's just, and I, because you know we're about solutions and trying to figure out what's really going on and all this. It's so frustrating to watch the majority of the pundits, on Sundays with Chris Wallace or you know Media Buzz or whatever. On the right, you have to be like well thought out and like, well, Bill Barr, when he said there was spying or surveillance, I looked up the word and surveillance is spying, and they have to be you know so well thought out and well metered. And the left just does such a good job. I really got to tip my cap to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the Adam Schiffs. They do such a good job of they just stay on target. They just stay on target. Boy, I tell you what, Bill Barr, that's a horrible person right there. He used to be respectable, but now he's just a Trump stooge. I guess he traded in his regular hat for a tinfoil hat. Boy, Bill Barr, sad about big Bill Barr. It's just sad. Why would he do this? He's the people's lawyer, not Trump's lawyer. They just
Yeah,
relentlessly, relentlessly.
there's about 50%, maybe even more, of the people who want to understand exactly what happened. He's not doing this for Trump. He's doing this so that the criminal justice system in this country doesn't lose all faith as an institution.
It's well, it's right around the corner. It's right, and here I'll throw in the obligatory. You know, the majority of people who work for the FBI are fantastic people, and they're good people, and they're hardworking, law-abiding citizens. Okay, so we said that. That's another thing that the pundits always have to say. But listen, surveillance, spying, whatever. And I thought, listen, Barr's no spring chicken. He's been around the
No.
block. What is this? His third time as attorney general? Something crazy like that?
I don't know what number it is, but he also like ran a multi-billion dollar international company.
Yeah, and then I'm sure Adam Schiff will be like, and there's possible ties to Trump there. Trump might have
Oh my
him over a
God.
barrel. It's just it's hard to just this is just me, and of course I'm preaching to the choir because I'm sure you agree. When you investigate someone for collusion for 2 years, when you have this, oh, he colluded with a foreign government, and then there's nothing there, or not enough there to warrant charges, to bring charges. Well, then you have to ask yourself, well, how did this get started? Like someone, and this is the metaphor that I like to use. You're in a movie theater and someone has yelled fire, and everyone gets up and they freak out and they get outside and there was no fire. So now you have to find out, well, who yelled fire? You're not allowed to do that, right?
Right.
So I think that's what Bill Barr was doing. And boy, when he testified the other day, and I can't remember who it was, but he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure there was spying on the Trump campaign. And whoa, you would have thought he just, just peed all over the conference
Was
table.
it?
Are you sure you want to use that word? Well, okay, spying, surveillance or whatever. And I'm sorry, I'm on my soapbox here a little bit. Then you have to wonder, like, if they thought there was, say, Russians that were working in the Trump campaign, or there's something going on, why then doesn't the FBI say, hey, that person you're talking to, they're a Russian, like they did for what's his chick from San
Yes,
Francisco, who's like, hey, just a heads up.
that is the question I want an answer to. Andrew McCarthy from National Review has been asking it for months.
Yeah.
Lindsey Graham asked it in a speech, and Bill Barr has said it. If you thought the Trump campaign was a target, why didn't somebody tell candidate Trump?
Yes. Yeah. So these, I mean, that seems like a pretty pedestrian question. I mean, like that's like something you go into a coffee shop and talk to somebody like that. You know, someone who you just met. You go into a coffee shop, you're like, I'll take a piece of pie and a cup of coffee, and then the person behind the counter is like, oh boy, spying on the Trump campaign. You could explain it to him in that way. And I don't see, like, it's just like these epic fails on these pundits on the right. Like, they cannot just explain it.
Because Trump himself was supposedly never under investigation, not earlier, not later, not ever. Okay? So if you
Yeah.
thought these two low-level campaign staffers were being approached by bad actors from Russia, the campaign absolutely should have been made aware.
Yeah. Perhaps that was their insurance policy.
Maybe, maybe.
Seriously, like, hey, here's what we'll do. We
Don't be
won't
crazy.
tell them, yada yada. Are you there?
I am.
Okay. It was got very, very quiet for a second. Dan Bongino, very outspoken dude. I like that guy. I guess someone was coming at George Papadopoulos. Someone was coming at George Papadopoulos, and Dan Bongino, and of course, this is a name that I'd never heard mentioned before. And Bongino goes, once we find out, and he knew the guy's name, this dude who was coming after George Papadopoulos, once we find out who employed that guy, all hell's gonna break loose. All hell's gonna break loose. So
Well,
I
I
hope
mean,
that happens.
he's been following it very closely. McCarthy's been following it very closely. Kim Strassel and all of these people. See, I can't listen to Adam Schiff anymore. Like, literally, the sound of that man's voice does something to me, and I get a tick.
It's torture. It's
I
torture.
can't listen to him. I can't listen to Chuck Schumer. I can't listen to Nancy Pelosi. I literally have to read articles or transcripts of what they said. Because I
Yeah.
can't listen to it.
It's the little smirk, it's the bug-eyed, unflappable nature of it all. Eric
Nobody
Swalwell
questions
has the
them.
same thing to me.
Nobody questions them ever.
No. No, and they never. And listen, I've seen, like, Schiff bugs me like that, and also Swalwell really, really annoys me. But I've seen Swalwell on Tucker Carlson, like, go toe to toe with Tucker Carlson, and Carl and Tucker can't get under his skin. Tucker can't, and it's like, wow, this dude is he's just out there. There's like literally no talking to him. He will concede nothing, nothing. And it's like talking to a Martian. So, oh, and speaking of, this is a horrible segue, talking to a Martian, someone who hasn't been on planet Earth for a while, who's suddenly found himself back, Julian Assange. Julian
Oh my God, did
Assange.
he not look crazy?
Oh, that poor soul. Listen, Julian Assange, ultimately, I didn't dig him back in 2010. I was highly amused by the WikiLeaks. That was all fantastic, and it was wonderful. But you can't, whatever. But I feel bad for the guy. I really do.
Oh, I
It's
don't.
It's pathetic and the whatever.
He got
The
kicked out of
upside.
the Ecuadorian embassy for like being a slob and not cleaning up after his cat and being rude to the staff.
How happy are those people to see him gone? How
Exactly my
happy?
point.
Like, you live in Ecuador, and then you find yourself, oh, I got a job at the embassy in London.
London.
Score. Boom. I'm going to have so much fun. It's going to be, oh, wait, who's the weird hermit dude? And what's with the cat?
Right?
It's like, that's a
Why
real
does this
bummer.
blonde chick keep coming over?
Pam Anderson's here. What the hell is going on at our embassy? Roll cameras.
Oh my God, all these people. He's a hero. He's the hero. People on the left, you can't charge him for anything. He was journalisming. No, journalisming does not involve helping people crack computer passwords to get into systems that they're not supposed to be in.
Well, that's him and Chelsea Manning and all that good stuff. Here's the upside for me. Here's what I want that dude to testify in front of Congress. I totally want him to do it. I want him because he, and here's the upside of to WikiLeaks. They've never lied. Everything they've ever done, and this is the scary thing is like when you're talking about troop movements and military plan, you're putting people's lives in jeopardy. But with the whole WikiLeaks thing,
Well, it was
they've
all
never
WikiLeaks.
lied.
It was all WikiLeaks. When he did it with Bradley Manning, it was still WikiLeaks. And not only did he put out troop movements and other things, it included the name of our resources in Afghanistan. You want to talk about getting people killed? These were Afghan nationals that were helping the U.S. military. And he
Yeah, that
wouldn't
is no
even
bueno.
redact it for their names. The Guardian said, "We'll go, just take it down. We'll go through and do it for you and give it back."
See, and this
Literally
is
to
what
save people's lives. And he's like, "No, I don't think so." He didn't
Right.
do journalism. He did document dumps. He took everything he was given, and I mean hundreds of thousands of pages, and just put it all out on the internet. That's not journalism.
No.
That's
That's
not journalism. So
literally
don't
going through
confuse,
people's garbage before they've
yeah,
even thrown it
don't
out.
confuse Julian Assange with a journalist. That's not. And if you notice, the charges they brought against him in the US, the indictment they have against him is very specific to what he did to get some of those documents so as not to chill the First Amendment. So everybody freaking out over the First Amendment, just be quiet.
I just listen for selfish reasons. I want him to talk about how he got those emails. That's what I want to discuss. How he got the emails from the DNC. That's just it. Oh, and then this is the
I
other thing.
think
Just
the
like a
only
little pat
place
on the
he's
back.
gonna.
I find it interesting that it wasn't the Obama administration that did anything about Julian Assange. It's the Trump administration that got the guy ultimately. Out of the
Outed.
Ecuadorian embassy, and he'll be extradited to the U.S. and yada yada yada. But
Well, he
that's one
may
of those
be
things where,
extradited to the US, but I think the only place he's gonna testify is in court if he doesn't plead the fifth. That's
well,
just my humble opinion.
I think he has such an ego, he's gonna want to testify. He's one of those dudes that thinks he's the smartest person in the room. I mean, like you
He's
don't do something like
crazy.
WikiLeaks and all that unless you think you're just I'm a brilliant genius and I'll save them from themselves.
No,
Okay.
I honestly think the Russians are going to kill him.
Ooh, I hope not.
I don't
I
know.
hope not. I want that dude to talk. I want that dude to talk. Okay, Elon Omar. I
Ugh.
have about had it with this chick. And I'm not inciting violence, let the record show. I'm not inciting violence. But I find those statements that she gave at that care it, they infuriate me. They infuriate me. And for the left not to condemn her. For the left not to for just to have her go,
To defend
CARE was
her.
formed after 9/11 because some people did a thing and we were losing our civil liberties. Like none of that is true. Like none of
None of
that is
that is
true.
true. And here's how sick I am of Ilhan Omar as a person who had friends in the Amex building, who had a brother-in-law who was supposed to be in the World Trade Center that day. Wonderful job, Minneapolis. Wonderful job. I will not spend one set red cent. that gets returned to your state economically until this woman is out. Out, out, out. I won't visit, and it's a beautiful state. I will deliberately look to see if it's a Minnesota company I am buying something from, and if it is, I will not buy it. I am done with these people.
Is there any way she doesn't get reelected? I'm not even kidding.
I
I'm
mean,
not even kidding. It's like just the way it's that there's that huge enclave of Somali refugees there. I know there's another huge one in Columbus, Ohio. And like whenever you have like giant waves of immigrants, they all kind of, you have the neighborhood, you have the
Right.
Italian neighborhood, you have the Chinese neighborhood, and now you have like the Somali. I mean, they're
Oh,
just
I know,
all
but our
there.
government is actually setting up what used to be called the ghettos. And my great grandfather lived in an
Well,
Irish
yeah.
ghetto, so just stop. That's what every
Well, I mean,
little
it just
ethnic
happens.
enclave where they lived was called. It was the Italian ghetto, the Irish ghetto, whatever.
Yeah, but I seriously, I'm thinking about it, and like literally, like I think she gets elected again. I think there's enough Democrats who are like, oh boy, we are being mean to the Muslim community. We are being mean to her. She's standing up for women's rights, and she's awesome. So I
Standing
think
up
she
for
totally gets
women's
elected
rights,
again.
where? Where is she even standing up for Palestinian rights? Hamas is killing their own people in the streets. It gets no coverage on the mainstream media. She is silent about it. Rashida Tlaib is silent about it. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is silent about it. Don't tell me who she sticks up for, because the only people she sticks up for are Muslim Islamists in this country. Period. She talks about being allies for the gay people. Really? Really?
That's that it's just absolutely laughable. It's just absolutely laughable.
Brigitte
I
Gabriel said 3 years ago, the first time I saw a live an interview with her, an unedited interview, she said, "The plan has always been to use our liberalism against us. So, to use our belief in free speech, to use our belief in freedom of religion, to use our belief in inclusion. That has
Yes.
always been the plan."
Yes. I firmly believe that. And this is the other one where this is where the show gets labeled as hate speech or whatever.
I
But it's
don't
like
care.
you don't have to have a war. You don't have to fire a shot. You just keep bringing more people in. And that's what's happened to Europe. It's you could really make the argument that it is, sadly. It's over. It's over for England. It's
Well, I don't
over
know.
for France.
I honestly don't know what they're going to do in the UK. Their government literally failed with this whole Brexit thing.
You have got to see this clip. I was down at Comedy and Magic the other night. I put it at theloftusparty.com. And it's just I'm doing stand up and I'm talking about Brexit. There's an English lady in the audience. It was
Uh-oh.
so funny. It was so funny. She's a very sweet person. She lives in America now. She's not going back to England. And she's like, "You can't go back. You can't go back. It's not England." And it's just like you feel bad for her. But ultimately, the people of England voted to leave. They're like, "We wanted to leave," and their representatives are not doing their bidding. So the people of England are being taxed, and they're not being represented. It's taxation without representation. It hurts, doesn't it? It really. So,
You see what we were talking about, guys? Do you see
see,
now?
do you finally get it? Do you finally hear me
See,
now?
I saw some tweet today that said something to the effect of, yeah, if the loyalists had been with George Washington when he was crossing the Delaware and been doing the calculus about what it was going to cost, and Americans might lose 3% of their GDP, the Revolutionary Army would have drowned them and gone right ahead with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How dare
It's
you? How dare you, Theresa May and your little cohorts? How dare you challenge the will of the English
outrageous.
people? It's completely outrageous.
I and listen, it's too funny. I do these videos on YouTube and it's part of the fun for it for me, and the reason that I like doing it is you kind of see where people are at. Like this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez video, boom, goes off like gangbusters. But people like Brexit, they really don't care. And then I kind of have to push back on that because I like to fight for the underdog and like, right? It's like I'm still very committed to the yellow vest thing in France. Like that, I care about that deeply. I care about Brexit deeply. But I tell you what, whoever's all the subscribers on the YouTube channel, and thank you for subscribing, everyone. The Brexit thing, not so much.
My favorite.
Not so much.
My favorite was some lunatic representative in the French government quote tweeting Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying how she understood what the Yellow Jackets were all about because it was about economic justice. I quote tweeted the whole thing. I said, no, it's not. It's about a carbon tax.
Yeah.
Stop lying. Just stop lying. This is the workers rising up because they don't want to be taxed again for your stupid environmental policies.
Yes.
Don't talk to me about economic justice. They're fighting your economic injustice by continuing to tax the cheapest source of fuel that they have access to.
Yeah. And it's exactly, and then historically it's very odd. It's like exactly what Rome did. Like if you live in Paris, and you're the benefit, you tax everyone everywhere across France. Well, you have all these wonderful benefits. However, the people in the countryside aren't getting these benefits. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who have to do all the work, and they get taxed just to make the people in Paris's life better. It's exactly one of the reasons Rome fell. If you lived in Rome, you got a free bottle of wine every day. You got bread every day. You got to go to the Colosseum and watch people hack each other apart with swords. Granted, but you knew you would live and you would be entertained and you would at least have something. So the people in the Roman countryside were like, we're done with this. We're done with this. We're not going to – why should we, you know, bust our hump every day? That's a little history lesson from the history. It reminds us of what we should be worried about.
We are okay, like running this podcast like a train today.
I am.
I'm tired.
I'm on fire. It's a big day.
It's a big day.
There's lots going on.
I know.
Oh, and I tell you this, it's too funny. The Facebook page has been, it's so nice. I love it, you guys. And this is the stand-up comedian in me. When I make something and it's a video and like people respond to it, it really, really makes me happy. That's just, maybe it's shallow or whatever. But this video is, you know, tens of thousands of views, which is always nice. Tons of new friends on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So we're honing in on 8,000 now. And then once we get to 10,000, there's Facebook Watch. It opens up a whole new there's a whole new level of wonderful. So we're getting close. And the same is true for the YouTube subscriptions. YouTube is, I love it, man. Like, slow and steady wins the race. It would be nice to have a YouTube video go viral and get like 10,000 subscribers overnight.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to count on that ever happening. I don't know why things go viral, really. If anybody did, they'd live in a giant mansion up on a hill.
That one Star Wars video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now it's weird. It's like the Star Wars video was huge, and now this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. However, we're getting close to the bigger numbers there. We're up to like – we're almost at 5,000, and that's almost it's good. Everything is just going wonderfully, wonderfully well. There's some great stuff at theloftedparty.com. One of the things that I did a couple days ago when the new Star Wars teaser trailer came out, I broke that down. And I've never done that before. That's the other thing, like, you know, flexing new muscles and writing articles and this and that. But the Star Wars teaser, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, J.J. Abrams is back. I'm sure you've seen the trailer, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, here's I'll tell you my thoughts on it. First of all, it's like J.J. Abrams. Here's the other thing, and this is a good lesson for everybody. Measure twice and cut once. Never start writing a book without an outline. You need a plan. You need a plan. And evidently, J.J. Abrams had like some kind of loosey-goosey plan when he did the Force Awakens. They threw that out the window. They didn't. So I feel in a weird way. I'm very conflicted about J.J. Abrams. When I saw the trailer, I'm like, okay, good. Okay, good. Like right out of the gate, this poor soul. And I don't really have pity on J.J. Abrams, but like Rian Johnson did his best to ruin everything. He did his best to ruin everything. Oh, Rey, she's not anybody big. She's a nobody. Her parents were nobodies. What? Oh, Snoke, the big villain, he's dead. Oh, Kylo Ren, that mask that he wears, take that off. It's stupid. Oh, the lightsaber of Luke's, throw it away. It's dumb. Oh, Luke, oh, he tried to kill a kid in his sleep. He's evil. Oh, Luke, he's dead. Oh, it just like ridiculous. After he like literally destroyed everything. Okay, so at least
I'm not as big of a geek into all this as you are, but even I know there's some genetic component to being a Jedi. She can't be nobody.
Right. Well, so this is what the trailer's all about, is like J.J. Abrams like trying to fix as much stuff as he can. So like the first thing you hear is like Luke Skywalker's voice. It's like, not everyone is dead. And you're like, okay, cool. All right. So we'll be seeing Luke again. At least he's active in this. And they do the close up on the lightsaber again. Okay. The lightsaber's back. That means something. And then they show Kylo Ren fixing his helmet. And you're like, okay, jeez, he's going to fix that. It's weird. It's like I find myself just hoping it's mediocre. I just find myself hoping it's mediocre. And that's a sad statement on my life.
I'm actually this is going to be a complete flip for us. I'm going to let you go see it first and tell me whether it's worth it or not.
Well, listen, and maybe it's like the age I was when I saw it. And that Star Wars is a classic myth. It's like Lord of the Rings. It's textbook mythology. And then they decided to interject girl power and modern politics. And oh, here's the other character you didn't see in the teaser trailer for the Rise of Skywalker, which I find that title to be interesting too. You didn't see that Rose chick. You didn't see the Asian character. You barely saw Finn. You barely saw the black kid.
I think he'll still be pretty important.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, however, I just watched the trailer, and I mean, I didn't pick up on all the subtleties you did, and I went, looks like a Star Wars movie.
It does. Well, if you watch. And this is something that we should actually do. We should have a viewing party, and we'll do it. We'll do it at Gypsy Camp. We'll do it publicly, where we'll just have a public screening of The Last Jedi, and I'll just stop the film whenever I need to explain why something's horrible, and what a horrible choice they made. It's like they tried to kill the franchise. It's literally like they tried to kill the franchise.
It's actually kind of funny because, like, you know how much I love the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right?
Yes.
How emotionally attached I am to certain characters who do not appear to be coming back in Endgame, which is kind of ticking me off. but I'm still going to go. Tickets are bought. But I still go and watch those pitch meeting things that guy does on Screen Rant because they crack me up.
Yeah, that's a very, very funny conceit that he has.
Oh my god, I'm so buying the mug.
Yeah.
Barely an inconvenience. Super easy. Barely an inconvenience. I love that. It cracks me up. I love the franchise. I'm totally engaged in it. I love going to see the movies, but when I watch those, I'm like, yeah, he's not wrong. And he has it for Star Wars too. I watched The Last Jedi one and lost my mind.
Oh, because The Last Jedi was completely ridiculous. Like, I mean, even Star Wars fans.
I'm the girl that if Star Wars Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi is on, if I'm channel surfing, I will stop and watch it. The rest of them, not so much.
The Last Jedi, I'm not even kidding, is the only Star Wars film that I haven't purchased. I just it is dead to me. I will
Did I say The
never.
Last Jedi? I meant Return of the Jedi.
Oh, Return. I'll watch that one.
I'll
I'll watch
watch
for
the
oh.
first trilogy anytime.
Yeah, I'll even watch like Attack of the Clones. That
Nah.
looks pretty good to me now. That's pretty appealing.
Nah.
Well, here's the problem. In a nutshell, and this will be a good
I couldn't
transition.
stand the
Like
kid that played Anakin Skywalker.
they oh, that poor kid. His life is tragic. His life is tragic. You had Disney like, okay, with Rey, it's gonna be girl power, girl power, girl power. Like we're gonna show, and then what they do is her character flatlines. Like she's not interesting because she's never weak. You don't know. Like you just can't be super strong all the time. It's boring. You're
What
that's
was
what we call
Princess Leia?
overpowered. Rey is just overpowered. I'm never worried about her because she can do anything, and
But
that makes her boring. And
what
that is the
is
exact same mistake they made with Captain Marvel, which I finally saw.
Well,
It
just wait,
she
I have a question.
okay.
What about Princess Leia? Like, how is Princess Leia not girl power?
And
She
that's
was a
and that
strong
is
female, smart-ass character
yeah.
who got herself into trouble and jeopardy just like the guys did, and she shot her way out.
And could kill a creature six times her size while wearing a bikini.
Bikini, and a boob didn't even fall out.
It's like, and that's the problem with third wave feminism. It's like you cannot be feminine, be strong. You can't show any weakness. You have to be covered up the entire time and behaving as if you're a man and just be super strong and be a man in a man's world. And to me, like there's nothing feminine about that.
I will take Princess Leia over Rey and Scarlet Witch and Black Widow over Captain Marvel any day.
There's this hilarious meme I saw where it's like, when you've and they show these pictures of Scarlett Johansson, it's like when you've worked at the same company for 10 years, and then the new girl shows up and gets the promotion, and then there's a picture of Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel,
God. I think they're doing the Black Widow origin story, though, coming out in 2020.
that's what they say. That's what they
I
say. I
hope
don't think
they
they have a
do.
script. I
She's
don't
an
think.
interesting freaking character.
Yeah, but listen, I feel bad for Scarlett Johansson. She's had some really good swings at some really good pitches. She did Ghost in the Shell and swing and a miss. That should have been great. That should have been great. I blame the director on that one. Captain Marvel, I just want to say this quickly because we've got Avengers like
Spoiler
literally
alert.
right around the corner. Captain Marvel was just not good. It was just not good. And like, why do you go out of your way to ruin perfectly wonderful characters? You have no idea how bad it bugged me that Nick Fury lost his eye because a cat scratched his eyelid.
Not a
That
cat, it's
was,
a flurkin.
oh, a flerken. And isn't that a wonderful little name? It's a flerken, and we're all supposed a flerken. And that's another thing that bugs me that I talked about in my video. When you have a being, a creature that takes up a half a meter of space. It takes up a foot and a half of space. It's the size of a cat. You cannot then have that creature shoot out 100 yards of tentacles out of its mouth and take out a hallway full of bad guys.
Well, you
That's
can.
ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it takes me out of the movie. And when you call that creature a flerken and it can do all this birdie birdie stuff, it makes me think you're making fun of me for even liking this.
Can
And then
kind of
I
like
get
the
resentful.
Porg.
That was really just that was horrible. That was horrible. And Captain Marvel, go back and look. Go back and look at Captain America Winter Soldier when Nick Fury is going toe to toe with another character, and he's like, "Last time I trusted somebody, I lost my eye." And it's like, "Oh, I guess he was a liar then. I guess Nick Fury's just a big fat liar, and he hasn't even done anything. Maybe he's just a policeman. Maybe he's not even a policeman. Maybe he's just a truant officer who stole a badge." It's like it was just god awful.
Well, I'll take this tactic, and I'm going to say to you what I said after I saw it in a no spoiler fashion, because I haven't spoken about the movie on the show. You can't put that cat, and I don't mean the Flerkin, back in the bag. She's
You
freaking
flirking.
invincible. She's
Oh, it's.
invincible. Endgame
Listen.
should be about 3 minutes long.
And this is the other thing that I said in my video. Like, you can go back to the source material. You can go back to the Marvel comic books. And yes, Captain Marvel does come in. Well, she's been around. She's been around in the Marvel universe for many, many years when the Avengers go after Thanos. So that did happen. I'm not going to argue that that didn't happen in the comic book universe, but in the comic book universe, Captain Marvel had been around. She'd been flying around doing stuff for a long, long time. Right now, we're staring down we've had like what, 20 Marvel movies? It's got to be close. 20 of them. You got Captain America and Iron Man and the Hulk and all this stuff and the Winter Soldier and the Avengers. You cannot introduce a character. If you've got a book that is 20 chapters long, you don't introduce a new character at chapter 18 who can do anything. Anything. Like, spoiler alert. I'll tell you right now. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. Because the whole movie is rude, and it insults my intelligence as a moviegoer. Listen, I feel bad for Brie Larson. This is no fault of hers. She's a perfectly wonderful actress.
Well, she
Somebody
didn't
told
help
her that
herself.
performance was okay. She stops missiles. She stops missiles like she's Superman, throws them into 20 other missiles, and is just completely unfazed. She learns to fly at the drop of a hat. She literally flies through a giant Kree spaceship and destroys it, and is
Exactly.
and not a hair out of place. It's like it's insane. It's insane. And it's the same problem with Rey from Star Wars. Her character is not interesting because, like, nothing affects her. Like, we're supposed to cheer when Warren Beatty's wife is like, "Ah, you're a stupid human." And are we worried that Captain Marvel isn't going to get up off the floor? We know she is. And then they flash back to her. Oh, when she was in Little League, she had to stand up. And when she
Oh,
wrecked her
that was just
go-kart, she had
gross.
to stand up. I'm like, what am I watching here? What am I? Of course she's going to stand up. She's been nothing. That's never been in doubt. She stood up the whole time. It was just the worst. It was bad. It was
Like,
just
at the
bad.
opening of the movie, I kind of liked the relationship between her and the guy who was supposedly her mentor.
Nick Fury?
No, the Kree guy. I can't remember
Oh,
his name.
tell you what, that's Jude Law. That is Jude Law. Just shining a turd. Like he did a nice job in that.
I
That's just
thought he
he's
did
just a
very
good actor.
well.
He elevates the material.
I thought he did very well. I actually liked the little people with the ears.
Oh, that was okay. Okay, let's talk about that for a second. Let's just talk about that for a second. You bring up a very good point. At the beginning of the movie, the Skrull people, they have these green faces, they can become anybody. At the beginning of the movie, Captain Marvel and her friends, her close friends, are on this planet, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, it's a trap, it's an ambush," and they try to kill her. They try to kill her, but they knock her out and they take her back to their spaceship. And then they take her back to the spaceship. She's like, and she's hanging upside down. "What are you doing to me?" "Oh, we need the memory. We need the memory." Zap, 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 zap. And now Captain Marvel, who's so powerful, she has her hands are covered, but she's still blasting. She's killing people with her bare hands. That's when I was still on board with the movie. So now every green-eared goblin person Skrull on that ship is trying to kill her. They're trying to kill her, including the other bad guy. Then halfway through the movie, then she goes down to Earth. And she's talking to Nick Fury, and there's another Skrull up on the top of the parking lot, and he's like, bang, bang, bang. He tries to kill her. Then, a couple minutes later, she runs into the big bad guy, and now he's got this, like, nice English accent. And I did an Australian, but he's like, "We need the information in your brain. It's the key to saving my people. Are you high? Are you high? You need the information in her brain? That's the key to saving your people? Then why were you trying to kill her for the last hour?" Like, you made, they just like randomly made a decision. "Ooh, we're going to do this flip halfway through." Horrible,
But I like the
horrible
guy
writing.
who played the lead Skrull.
Mendelsohn, that guy's great.
I
And once
liked
again,
him. I liked him and I liked his character.
I think his name is Ben Mendelsohn. He was fantastic.
I
That's just
also
another
think.
thing. He's so entertaining, he could make that garbage good.
Yeah, I know, but I so he made the movie. He made me not hate the movie.
Yeah,
Those two
well.
characters, and I didn't mind Annette Bening's character. The one that drove me nuts was her best friend, who was a fighter pilot, and where they
Oh, Lord.
completely lost me on that one was, "What, are you gonna come with me, sister?" I mean, total sister moment where they're gonna go
Yeah.
out in space together, and she's like, "Of course not, I have a kid." And the kid pipes up, "No, mom, you've gotta go, and if you croak, I'll go with grandma and grandpa." Yeah, every
Yes.
7-year-old is gonna say that. What are you people talking about?
It was ridiculous. And that Brie Larson, Captain Marvel, her character would even ask that woman to go on that mission.
Like, what
Was
kind
just
of friend
rude.
are
Was
you?
like rude. But here's the deal. Nothing mattered. Nothing
Hi,
mattered.
I know you're a single parent. Come get killed with me. What? That's not friendship.
That's what I'm saying,
God.
and that's when everyone in the movie theater picks up. Oh, there must not be any real danger here. There must not be any real danger here. I mean, and look at like Captain Marvel. She's on that planet with her friends at the beginning of the movie. She's captured. She barely manages to escape. She lands on Earth, and she's like, "I'm down on Earth." She's separated from her friends. These are like practically her family for the past 6 years, and
Right.
they're like, "You have to come back now." And she's like, "No, I got this." So she doesn't care about them. She doesn't care about them. And then she finds out she used to be a human. Oh my gosh, I'm not a Kree, I'm a human. That's cool. I'll roll with that. And then she finds out she was a human and she had a family and she had friends. She goes to her friend's house. The daughter's like, you didn't even like your family. You would hang out with us. Here's us on Christmas." And she's like, "Oh, okay." She like totally. She has zero interest in finding
Zero
her mom and her
curiosity.
dad.
Yeah.
Zero. It was a poorly written thing. Moving on, we'll close out the show with things that are not poorly written. Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, as we broadcast this on Monday, it premiered last night. Next week, I'll give you the lowdown on it. I'm very much looking forward to it. I think they're estimating 1 billion people might watch tonight. The numbers are
Wow.
going to be huge. Entertainment still means something. If you make a good product and you care about the characters and you have an interesting story and it's all believable and you present it in that fashion of what if this was real, you do very well. And Gypsy, I cannot believe you've never seen this.
I've never seen this, but I did watch something on Netflix. I watched two things on Netflix last night.
Okay.
If you ever made a mixtape with Home Sweet Home on it, I
Never
strongly
did, thank God.
shut up. You know me and hair bands. Come on.
Okay, that's where we differ. That's where we differ.
If you ever liked yourself a little bit of Motley Crue, shout out the devil. They actually have a biopic. Written, and I like this because it's actually written by the band and produced by the band. Little bit of sex, little bit of language, but if you liked that genre, very good movie. And if you grew
Here's
up in
the
the
thing.
80s, it sounds really familiar.
I don't want to watch it. I mean, I've
You don't
heard
have
nothing but
to.
good things about this movie. I can't remember what's the name of it. I can't
The
remember the name.
Dirt. The
It doesn't
Dirt.
matter. People can find it. They can find
Yeah.
it.
And
Listen,
the other one was the Highwaymen, the people that the full story of the capture and killing of Bonnie and Clyde. Super good. Woody
Oh,
Harrelson
wow.
is good. Kevin Costner, I liked the story. It's kind of calm, but I didn't realize how many fanboys and girls they had. They were freaking bank robbers and killed people.
Oh yeah. Well,
Oh my God.
that was the whole thing. You had these people, you had these farmers and working class people who were up to their eyeballs in debt, and they had taken out these loans from these banks. And when these, Dillinger and Bonnie and Clyde and Pretty Boy Floyd and all these dudes who would run around, they'd rob the banks. They were like, okay, that's justice. They were like real folk heroes, and that was the wonderful thing. I remember being a kid and seeing the one with Faye Dunaway and
Yeah,
Warren Beatty, which really holds up.
Actually, at the end, they actually took like the AP photographs from the time and the clip from the movie. Like, they tried to keep it super, super tight to what actually happened. And it was a really good movie. It's called The Highwaymen.
Yeah, I want to check that out. Woody Harrelson, man, that guy is making some good stuff. The first season of True Detective is one of the best pieces of television I've ever seen. All right,
Is
so
that
we'll do a.
Netflix or is that
That's HBO. That's
HBO? See, I
HBO.
don't have the HBO.
Well, you might just have to get HBO Go. It's their streaming service. Oh, and this is so
Maybe.
wonderful. This is the perfect. We have like less than a minute left. But it's just so funny to watch, like, Disney has just released their streaming service, which is just going to be over the top. It's just going to be over the top, like all these Marvel heroes. So you might as well you're going to need the Disney next Netflix. You're going to need the Disney streaming. You're going to need your Netflix. You're going to need
Oh, I mean,
your
if I'm
CBS streaming. You're going to need your Hulu. So what you're going to have, you're going to pay $20 a month for Disney or whatever, and $20 a month
no,
for
I'm not.
Netflix, and $20 a month for CBS, and $20 a month. It's going to be just as much as a cable bill. So
Here's my
it's
thing.
like
Here's my
they're
thing.
literally create they're recreating the system that everybody hated.
No. Well, what I'm going to do is okay. I know there's a series on Netflix that I will binge watch, or two series, when three actually. When Gotham gets over there, I will binge watch that. I will binge watch Stranger Things, and I will binge watch if there's any future Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I'm not sure there's going to be.
Yeah.
So I will buy that for 1 month when they're all out, and I will literally binge watch it, and then I will cancel it. Then I will go over to the Disney streaming service and I will watch the 6 week series on Scarlet Witch. Loki, you know how I feel about him. I mean, I
Yep.
will literally sign up and cancel all of these things to watch what I want to watch. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff on Amazon Prime that I can't wait to watch. And I get that because I get my stuff delivered in 2 days. That's just free as far as I'm concerned.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to write this down. We're going to have to write this down and sell it as the exclusive. I'm going to call it the Gypsy Watch and Quit streaming program.
Well, you know, like,
Stream and quit.
so Netflix is kind enough to drop an entire season.
That's what they do with everything.
I know, but why am I gonna pay for, like, if I know something's coming on Hulu that I want to watch and they're both $20 a month,
You
I'm
make
gonna
you
binge
make a
watch that
very good
series
point. You
and then
make
I'm gonna go over to Hulu.
a really good point, and I think
I'm
more
cheap
people
as
should do
hell.
this. So here's what Netflix is gonna have to do. Here's what Netflix is gonna have to do. They're gonna have to start releasing an episode at a time. So they're really gonna they're gonna totally recreate broadcast and cable on the internet.
I'm
I just love it. I
sorry,
think.
but I'm not gonna pay for all of these individual streaming services either. You don't understand. 5G is coming.
Oh,
Once
I can't. Like four G.
once that's done, I'm getting rid of the cable bill altogether because I don't even need it for my internet anymore.
Well, there you go. And with your system, with the exclusive Gypsy Stream and Quit, which is also the way you go to the bathroom, which is the
What are you
Stream and
talking
Quit
about me
system,
like that
you could
for?
have. You can avoid those giant cable bills. You guys, we're out of time. It was a phenomenal show. It was a great show. And before we go, a big shout out to Tiger Woods. I don't know how we got through an entire program without doing that. That guy, and he fought his way back. He fought his way back. Everybody counted him out for years and years and years. He won the Masters. You got to give it up for greatness. Where regardless of what you think of the man as a human being, he is one of the all-time, if not the all-time greatest golfer. Fantastic. Big congratulations to Tiger. If you are one of our Patreons, thank you, thank you, thank you. You're awesome. We might be redoing the logo. I'm toying around with that, but I don't want to get it out in front of my over my skis. Patreon supporters, you guys are awesome. If you subscribe to the YouTube channel and the Facebook page, we love you, love you, love you. Make sure you go to iTunes, give us some stars, give us a little review. That will beat the algorithm, people. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the day. We will see you here. We'll be talking some Game of Thrones next week. And who knows, maybe something will happen in the world of politics.